know about you, but I feasted this morning. I feasted this morning on the presence of God. Hallelujah. I thank God for His holy word. God is good. Let's stand to our feet. What I want to do tonight is continue what I started this morning. A couple things I did not get to this morning, I want to get to tonight. I want to look into the Word of God for our comfort, for our assurance, for our victory. Amen. I tell you what, before we read our verse, won't you just reach your hands this way and let's pray tonight. And if you will agree with me in prayer right now that God have His way, that no hindrance or distraction will come, that the Lord will break and destroy every yoke and every bond so that His Word goes forth unhindered. I want you to agree with me in prayer to that end. Heavenly Father, we thank You this evening. We praise You this evening. We stand on the promise of an eternal Word. Lord, heaven and earth shall pass away, but Your Word will not. And Lord, we just agree together in faith right now that You minister and move. Lord, that You allow tonight's service, Lord, to be that which breaks every yoke and breaks every bond, destroying the yokes of the enemy. Lord, have Your way right now in every heart and life. And Lord, may this message glorify only You this evening. Hallelujah. Thank You for the victory we know that's in the cross. Thank You for Your hand extended in our lives. We acknowledge You in all of our ways. Direct our path tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians as you're standing. Chapter number 3. This morning we had a focus on the fact that Solomon did not build the temple until David had got the victory and put all enemies under Israel's feet. And the point being this morning, we need to put the enemy under our feet before we can build a holy temple in the Lord. And how many know that we're the temple of the Lord today? Amen. God walks and talks in His children. I believe we're the residency of God today in this world. Ephesians 3 and 17. I want you to notice a few verses here, down through 20. If you're there, say amen. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. Somebody say comprehend. Comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And verse 20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And what does it say here? According to the power that worketh in us. God add His blessing to His word. Shake someone's hand before you're seated and say, it's good to see you in the Lord's house this evening. Hallelujah. Praise God. I will shortly be going to the book of Romans. I do want to give you these heads up, and then afterwards we will go to the book of Daniel, chapter number 9. But Romans 8 shortly here, just in a minute. Church, do you understand the victory you have in the Lord? We concluded this morning talking in the words of Jesus where He said, I give you power to tread on what? Serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Brother David, He says, nothing by any means would harm you. And I believe we've got that promise today. Although there are a lot of Christians that got this attitude when they're exercising their authority. Mr. Devil, will you please leave and don't bother me anymore? I'm getting tired and I'm not feeling real well today. Will you just please leave? Now understand, you're not talking to Him like He's an associate. You're not talking to Him like He's the ruler. You need to talk like to Him like He's the subordinate. You're the head. He's the tail. Are y'all with me today? You're the one with authority and power. Now, here's the thing, church, that we must grasp, and that is the fact that Jesus has power. If you serve a powerless Redeemer, then friends, I want you to know you're not going to have no power. But if we understand in whose army we belong, if we understand the scope and how far-reaching the authority of Jesus is, glory to God, He's the head of the church, all things are under the church, and guess what tonight? I'm part of the church. Therefore, I inherit the authority that belongs to the church, and He give it to the church. Hear this tonight. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost in this place. And several points I didn't touch on this morning, I want to get into tonight. I want you to notice here that we need to be able to comprehend. We need to be able, I'm going to say, to grasp the love of God. To understand many things, how far-reaching His authority is, how good His love is. And I don't have to really look any further than the cross to understand how much He loves me. That plainly tells me. But this verse here, as I read this, it talks about how the love of God can do such a broad work in our life. Know that the love of God, when we understand it and we comprehend it, it has a changing effect in our life. And I concluded here in verse 20, and I want to read that for you again. Now unto him that is able. I want you to say able. You know, if Abraham was able to number the stars, how many understand he wasn't able? If Abraham was able to count the sand by the seashore, he wasn't able. But friends, I've got a God not only can count the stars, He's got them all named. Understand that. He's got unique names for every last one of them. And I know they've got these star registries. You can send them $20 and they'll name a star after you. At least in their mind, God's already got them named, and I'm not going to infringe on what God's already done. He's got a name, and ain't every one of them named Ted Stinton, to the best of my knowledge. Amen. And I'm glad of that. Hallelujah. But friends, understand that God is able. I want you to say that right now. God is able. Understand in your life, God is able. In your situation, God is able. No, you've not went too far. No, the enemy doesn't ride shod over you to the point that you can't get the victory. Yes, you can get the victory tonight, because the victory's not in you. If we get out of ourselves long enough to see where the victory is, the victory's in Jesus tonight. And I believe and know and have every faith and confidence that what He done is good enough. Isaiah told it in chapter 53, by His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. It said God would look upon the travail of His soul and that He would be satisfied. Jesus satisfied the justice of God in my behalf, so that I could go free. And Brother Micah, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Friends, I feel the same thing tonight that I felt this morning. I believe God is here tonight to set you free. You should be tired of being bound. Shake those chains off and receive everything that He has for you. Now God is able to do exceeding abundantly above, far surpassing. What does it say here? What we ask in prayer, the greatest request you possibly can propose to God. And how many understand sometimes we think we bother the Lord when we ask Him these big things? I think sometimes the Lord just shakes His head and says, my children, don't ask me for nothing hard. Of course, God can't be challenged, though. Y'all understand that? If something challenges God more than something else, we will escalate to the point we will achieve a task that God cannot do. But to God, I want you to know, healing a headache is as simple, glory to God, as healing cancer. You hear me now? Healing a headache to God is the same, equal, as raising Lazarus who'd been dead for 4 days. You can't get to the point where you can get a task that God can't do that goes beyond the scope of His power. Hear that. And hear this, in the far recesses of your imagination, as big as you can fathom Him to be, He goes exceeding abundantly above that. Got to get people higher. I could climb a ladder to the roof and yet not exemplify that enough. Amen. Now we know God's a whole lot. And I know that He exceeds the capacity of our mental ability to grasp Him. I like how Solomon said, can you by books, can you search by books? No, it was Job says, can you by books search out and find out God? No, you can't. And friends, I want you to know you can read the Bible, and just reading the Bible is not going to let you know who God is. We can read the Bible, and how many understand that's a wonderful thing, and you better do it. But in association with reading the Bible, we need to have the power of the Holy Ghost and a personal walk with Jesus. And with the same Spirit that wrote the Word, if that Spirit's in us and that unlocks the Word, we'll know more about Him by the Word. Say amen. But they have this in colleges and universities, and all they do with the Bible is teach unbelief. Amen. But I can read the Bible and I gain belief. You know why? Because I know the author. It's always good when you know the author. They have these book signings and people come and they sign the book and you get to shake the man's hand that wrote it. Well, I tell you what, I've met the man who wrote the book. Hallelujah. And he signed on my heart and told me that he loves me. And I'm grasping it a little now. And the more I know about him and the more I understand about him, the better it gets. I tell you what, I've waded into this river the way Ezekiel did in 47. Sometimes we're to the ankles. Then we get to the knees and to the loins. But I want you to know, I want to get into the swimming water. I want to get into that water I have to paddle, and it's so deep I can't feel the bottom of it, and let it just surround me and saturate me and do a work in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Now here's the thing. God can do exceeding abundantly above. How many caught that? Y'all with me? The last part of that phrase says, according to the power that worketh in us. I believe, child of God, tonight, that there's enough power in you to turn the devil upside down, stretch him inside out, kick him to the moon and back. Where does he belong? I said it this morning. Under your feet. He don't belong on your back. He don't belong in your mind. He don't belong in your heart. Come on now. Don't belong in your home. Don't belong in our schools. Somebody kick the devil out of schools. Friends, he don't belong in our government. He don't belong in our churches. Hallelujah. Well, where the power of God is, I want you to know the devil has to flee. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And my Bible says he'll flee from us. Amen. Now, the power is in us. Whether you know it or not, the power of God in me and you can set the enemy at bay. I want you to locate Romans as our next verse. We'll go to Daniel 9 shortly. But Romans chapter number 8. Tonight's message, as this morning we're continuing the thought under our feet, I want to subtitle the message tonight, Messiah's Victory. Do you know how much victory the child has, child of God has? Friends, I want you to know, I'm going to have to say, I read it, I believe it, and I'm trying to grasp it. Y'all understand that statement? I know it's there. Hallelujah. Do I have total victory in my life? If I'm being honest tonight, no. But we're all working at it. Amen. Glory to God. Romans 8. Hold on. Verse 35. Glory to God. Brother Micah mentioned preaching a sermon the other day that he is just in love with Romans chapter 8. Brother Micah, I'm with you on that. Awesome. Awesome chapter. And here's how we're going to wind up this wonderful chapter. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword, let me summarize, or any extreme. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And we can paint this grim picture. Friends, I want you to know that, and let me give you a snapshot of this, just a real quick, concise statement, even in death. What's the worst the world can do to you? You know, here's the thing, if the devil... And I say that very loosely because the devil can't do anything, but we let him do. But if the devil were to take your life, you know what he does? He ushers you into the presence of God. And I love that song, I'm a winner either way. If I go or if I stay, I'm a winner either way. And child of God, understand that tonight, that is true. That even in death, what are you? Verse 37 tells us. Nay, no. All these extremes mean nothing because in all of these things, we are what? More than conquerors. And I love that. I looked that up in the original Greek language and I made a message on it once upon a time. Just that word. We're not going to get into that tonight. But it means to vanquish beyond, to gain a decisive victory. No, you're not going to make it to heaven by the skin of your teeth. No, you're not going to slip into a window. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to march in the gate with my head held high behind my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At the rapture of the church. I believe that. Let me keep reading. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you've got total victory, raise your hand right now. Hallelujah. Even if you're struggling, you're doing it by faith because you know where your victory lies. It's in Jesus tonight. Father, we honor you tonight for the victory that's in you and what you have provided. Someone say amen. Can I take my time tonight? I know that it had been over a week since I preached when I come in here Wednesday night, and I did get a little long-winded. I don't apologize at all for that. But I feel an anointing here tonight. And I want you to know this. Daniel chapter number 9. And I am not going to give you this, what I think would be a complicated definition of this. Now, I've taught Daniel in multiple churches. And I love the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 9 tells, in the last four verses, of 70 prophetic weeks of years. A week of years is 7 years. 70 weeks of years is 490 years. And again, I'm not trying to make this complicated tonight. What I want to tell you tonight is what the purpose of this is. Now, Daniel 9 and 24 says this. Someone say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Why? To finish the transgression. I want you to understand closely the multiple purposes that are contained in these three verses. To finish the transgression. Number two, to make an end of sins. Number three, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Number four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Number five, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and notice this, and to anoint the Most Holy. Now, this is verse 24. It describes the purposes of these sets of weeks of years. Then he begins to describe in verse 25 and 26 some of the time frame that's in that. And I'm going to make a point here. Hold on to me. Have me with me so far. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem unto, read this with me, capital M Messiah. Am I correct? The capital P Prince. That is Jesus Christ, our anointed Lord. Shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah, capital M, be cut off. Isaiah said he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus yielded up the spirit of life, closed his eyes in physical death. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. And you know what? He didn't do it for himself. He done it for me, and he done it for you. And that's what this next verse says, but not for himself. And I want to stop right there. I want you to find Colossians. I've read this to you, and looking at Daniel chapter number 9, tells of what this time frame would do. And I want you to know it took 483 years from the time that the king of Persia in Ezra chapter 7 issued the decree to restore the walls in the city of Jerusalem unto the anointing of the Messiah there at the bank of the Jordan River. I believe this was even in Jesus' mind. And again, I'm not going to get into the depth of this tonight. When he and Cana of Galilee, hallelujah, is asked by his mother to turn water to wine, and he says, my time is not yet. Our Lord, knowing that he was only days away from the time this anointing would come. And how many know what Messiah means? Messiah means the anointed one. We have the Christos, which is Jesus Christ. It means Jesus the anointed. And there at the River Jordan, John baptized our Lord to fulfill all righteousness. Our Lord Jesus coming up out of that water. God the Father speaking from heaven and the Holy Ghost descending in a form of a dove. Anointing the Most Holy. And what did he do? It triggered the ministry of our Lord on this earth that would culminate in what he done at the cross, that would finish the transgression, that would make an end of sin, that would bring in everlasting righteousness and fulfill all that Daniel said it would fulfill that he told hundreds of years before. Glory to God. My God has a handle on this. I just want to tag along to see what he's going to do. He, knowing the end from the beginning and orchestrating all this, says he loves me and he has a plan for my life. Hallelujah. And when I feel his presence, I want you to know I understand who I am in him. I want you to know who you are tonight. Now, Colossians chapter number 2, someone say, praise the Lord. Oh my goodness, I ain't doing this justice tonight. Jesus has ultimate victory. When he was on the cross, I love that song, I Was on His Mind. But understanding what he was doing, he cries out, "It is finished," which is actually the battle cry that the war is won. Have me believe that that's where the war was won right there. Have me believe that what he done broke and destroyed the power of the enemy. My faith, I want you to know, I've cast my entire lot on Jesus. I have no contingency plan if there ain't no Jesus. Are y'all with me tonight? Everything's on the Lord and what he done. And friends, if I make it to heaven, and I believe with all of my heart I'm going to, if I make it to heaven, it's going to be because of Calvary. That's my entire trust tonight. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. I've got all the faith in the world and all of my confidence is on this man Jesus and what he done and what the Word of God said. Now I want you to catch this tonight. Oh my goodness. Y'all need to be shouting right now. Colossians 2 and 14. I was going to read this scripture this morning. I skipped over it. Blotting out the handwritings of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us. And took it out of the way. How did he get rid of it? Nailing it to his cross. Now, I want to draw your attention to the punctuation at the close of verse number 14, because that is the basis, the springboard. The transition into verse 15 is by virtue of the cross as termed at the end of verse 14. How many are with me when you see that semicolon? Because it was by the cross, verse 15, was executed. And having spoiled principalities and powers. How many know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places? That is the forces of the enemy. Let me sort of summarize the forces of the enemy. That by the cross, our Lord, it says, spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show. I looked that up in the original language this afternoon, and it's a public exhibit. Now, Wednesday night, we've opened up, I believe, a wonderful can of worms. We're studying in Luke chapter 24 about how it was so public that these two strangers, these two travelers, didn't understand how the stranger could not have known what occurred in Jerusalem. I am so glad my dear Lord done it openly and publicly. Cannot be refuted. Are y'all with me? We're going to get into that on Wednesday night with the Lord's help. But he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I want you to find Matthew chapter 27, and that is the last verse I will ask you to turn to this evening. As you're turning, I want you to listen. I've got three other Bible versions of Colossians 2:15. We just read the King James where it says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, a public exhibit, triumphing over them in it." Are y'all ready for this? It says, firstly, it says, "Their Christ," the cross, "their Christ defeated all powers and forces. He let the whole world see them being led away as prisoners when he celebrated his victory." Did y'all catch that? Listen, let me go here just a little bit again. Another one. "And on that cross, Jesus freed himself from the power of spiritual rulers and authorities And he made a public spectacle of them by leading them as captives in his victory procession. Y'all catch that one? One more. He defeated the rulers and the powers of the spiritual world. With the cross, he won the victory over them and led them away as defeated and powerless prisoners for the whole world to see. What happened there? Again, we read in the King James, and I love the King James. He made a show openly, triumphing over them in that. Now, when you get to this word, triumphing, and different concepts that are here, you get the idea of a military general taking the conquered military general in shackles, pulling him with his chariot as a demonstration of the victory. You know what we would say today? Lord, forgive us, but we would say, he's just showing off. What did Jesus do? He just showed off. You know why he did? Because he could. That's good enough for me, Brother Micah. I'm glad he did. I'm glad. And tonight, child of God, you need to look and tell the devil in your face, devil, my Lord beat you, and I stand on that. I walk in that. I believe it with every fiber in me. Not going to take any more of your junk. I'm going to rise above it. You know why? Because you're under my feet. Because you're under Jesus' feet. And you're under the church's feet. And I'm part of the church. I'm part of the redeemed. I'm part of the blood-bought few that's going to leave this world when the trumpet sounds. In the meantime, I'm going to exercise my authority. In the meantime, you're not going to have your victory over me, but I have victory over you. Now, Matthew 27, the Lord demonstrated this. And as I look at this, I can't give you all the answers of what happened here. But what I can tell you is what little bit I know. And maybe with the Lord's help, piece something together here. Matthew 27 and 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, hallelujah. John mentions that last phrase, it is finished. Yielded up the ghost. And what happened? And behold, the veil of the temple was rent, tore in twain, two, from the top to the bottom. From the top down. How many believe God the Father just reached down and flipped it? Or maybe he just touched it. Maybe he just blowed on it. I don't know what he did. And he just ripped in half. And that was just a message. That was a message to the Jews. Can I say a little more than that? That was a message to religion. That was a message to anyone that would trust in anything else. Here you go. This curtain is now, this obstacle is now removed. And you know what that's saying? That's saying, me and you, come on in. Come on in. The way has been made. Brother Micah, I want you to know I'm passing between two torn pieces of cloth to enter the holiest place. Hebrews said that veil was his flesh. Hallelujah. Now let me keep reading. The veil ripped in half from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake. You know, I was thinking before church, I was standing out front, and I was thinking of the scope of Jesus' victory. And he sent this earthquake, but you know, I thought maybe the devil's knees just started striking together so hard that the earth started quaking. I don't know. That's just me. I throw that in free of charge tonight. Gospel according to Ted. He was defeated. Now notice this. This is what it says here in the rocks rent, verse number 52. And the graves were opened. And many, and again, I can't answer this. It does not say all. It says, many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Am I reading this right? Y'all help me out here. You know, now here's the thing. You can't do 52 by itself. You have to include verse 53. And came out of the graves, read this with me, after his resurrection. So at the moment of the quaking of the earth, graves were exposed. Yet for 3 days, lifeless corpses of some, many, don't tell how many, doesn't say all, are there in Jerusalem. But when Jesus, the first fruits, rises first from the dead with the keys of death and hell, I believe he could go over and start unlocking. How many are with me? That's why the Christian don't have to fear death, because our Lord and Savior has the key. And he's delivered us from the fear of death. Amen. But I don't know, again, I can't explain this event. Matthew records it. It's in the Bible. It happened. What happened? These saints come up out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, the only way that I can look at this, and this is how I look at this tonight, this was the parade. After our Lord come out of that grave, in order for him to signify his power over death, he allowed this public demonstration that he had this power. Amen. And again, we don't know what happened. Glory to God. Whether they went back to the graves or took to heaven. Whatever happened, happened. But friends, here's the thing. My Lord and Savior has the key. He has power. He demonstrated that power. And that power is for the church today. Can you lift your hands and praise him in this place? Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus tonight. Church, I want you to put the enemy under your feet right now so that you can build that temple that's pleasing to God. Let's stand to our feet. Sister Vicki, will you come to the piano, please? Hallelujah. 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 I want to challenge our young people tonight to receive from the Lord. I know oftentimes they feel like, well, they're left out of it. The Lord can speak to you tonight. Just listen to what he says. You can have victory in your lives. You can be the light. You can be the salt, the examples to your friends. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening. We praise you this evening. Thank you for your touch tonight. Thank you for the power that's available to your church and children. And Lord, tonight, this power is activated by faith. And Lord, we have faith in you. We trust in what you've done and the victory you have. And Lord, just let that victory be part of our lives like it's never been before. Father, tonight, with faith and authority in your word, we put the enemy under our feet. We rise above every obstacle tonight or anything that would hinder us so that we walk in victory. Have your way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Let's come and gather around the altar tonight. Find a place and pray. Call upon Jesus. Let's talk to the Lord tonight.